Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sports Time HQ. I am your host, Fernando, and today I am joined by Dave. And you can follow him at Dynasty Dorks. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing great. A little worried about this COVID situation with Tennessee and how that's going to affect everything. It should be a pretty important show today with all of that going on. So that's something to we're going to talk about later, I guess.
Yeah, after 3 weeks of the NFL having no positive COVID-19 tests, the inevitable finally struck the NFL. After three players and five personnel tested positive today for Tennessee Titans, but no one tested positive for the Minnesota Vikings. So it's pretty crazy. Both games next week, Titans and Steelers and Texans and Vikings, they're looking into it. We don't know if they're going to be played or not. I know that's going to definitely mess up fantasy football this week.
All right. Yeah, they're saying right now that they plan on playing it as scheduled, but there's a possibility it could move to Monday.
Yep. So let's get into it. Let's get into episode number 4. Let's start talking about the winless teams. We have, I think, 8 winless teams so far. And my winless team that surprises me the most is the Falcons. They blew all 3 games, and they've been averaging 30 points a game this year. And last year, they only averaged 24 points a game, and they went 7-9. So scoring 6 more points a game is definitely a big difference in average. And already having an 0-3 loss, that's going to be hard to come back and make it to the playoffs. But they do have a tough schedule this year.
Absolutely. I would say the one that probably surprised me the most is the Vikings. You know, they've always been a well-coached team. I mean, I know that we knew the defense was going to take a step back, but that's probably the one that surprised me the most. There's 0-3, It's going to be really hard for anyone to make the playoffs, even in a 7-team format with that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be hard. I mean, Vikings, I did know they weren't going to be as good as last year with, as you said, the defense, but also losing Stephon Diggs, definitely a bummer. But they got Justin Jefferson, who did have a breakout this week. But, I mean, it's crazy to see some of these teams that are winless to be 0-3 right now.
Yeah, I'd like to look back and see what you, Jake, and I had for these guys. There were some moves that were made right after we made our podcast, but I would like to see where we're at. I mean, I was pretty worried I was going to get called out for being a homer for how poorly I had the Cowboys and the Eagles, and I'm pretty sure I'm spot on. They might even be doing worse than what I had them predicted.
Yeah.
I was not high on the Vikings either, but there are some that I was really off on, like the Bears, 3-0. I was way off. I was way off on that. So, Chicago, you got me on that one.
Yeah, and as we know, they're no longer starting Mitchell Trubisky. Nick Foles is the starting quarterback for this week.
Yeah, and I don't know if you have it on the slate today, but Brett Rippon is going to be the starter on Thursday. They have benched Jeff Driscoll.
That shocked me, actually. I did not see that coming. I thought they were going to stick with Jeff Driscoll.
He was actually, you know, someone that's been serviceable in fantasy in the past for the Bengals and for the Lions. So I was pretty surprised, but this is an 0-3 team. They are going to do everything they can, and I think that, you know, there's going to be – Vic Fangio is coaching for his, you know, his, this might, he may never, you know, he's took a long time to get an opportunity, and it was a really bad year last year for them. There were some high expectations this year, and obviously where they're at, it's not looking good.
No, not at all. But let's start moving into these breakouts. The top breakout of the week, I think, is Cowboys wide receiver Cedric Wilson. He did not score in week 2, but week 3 against Seattle, he had a career high 33.7 points. Yes, minus 6 points, sorry. So 27.7, different league. Some leagues have reception bonuses. So 27.7 points he scored. Seven targets, he caught five of them, 107 yards and two touchdowns. Now to see the fourth wide receiver on the Cowboys to score 27.7 points is pretty bizarre, knowing that they have CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and that's crazy.
Yeah, my breakout is also a receiver, Justin Jefferson. I might get some hate today because I put out a fool's gold and I put him on it, and it really is more of a buyer's beware. He had no training camp because of the COVID. He was on the COVID list. He's a guy that we all have been super high on, and people were very disappointed after the first 2 weeks. And people really, you know, all the rumors were he's number four on the depth chart. He's number three on the depth chart, and he was slowly rising, but people were very off on him. And he's someone that, you know, in dynasty leagues, hopefully after the first 2 weeks you went and bought him. I tried to, from you actually. Yeah. And, I didn't expect a huge game like this. The fact that he's playing snaps in the slot are very promising, but rookie receivers, if you're in redraft, are super unpredictable. And, you know, that's the only thing. I'm 100% you should pick him up. And I just don't know if you should put him in your lineup and expect a lot from him on a week-to-week basis. They do have a pretty good matchup this week. But he's another one that might be affected by this whole COVID thing. They played Tennessee last week. So when you pick him up, be very – I would just lower your expectations. You know, everyone hears about – you know, think about A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and all these guys had really good rookie years. If you look back at their rookie season, fantasy-wise, it really wasn't that great. On a week-to-week basis, you could not put them in your lineup comfortably. And so I'm nervous about that. So that's a caution. But Justin Jefferson is my breakout. He 100% was, you know, he wasn't fantasy relevant, period, in the first 2 weeks. And he was wide receiver one, I think. So, yeah, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, like you said with Justin Jefferson, I mean, redraft leagues, that's really hard to predict. He could be spot on for you 1 week, and next week he could be having a one-point game for all you know. Where yeah. Dynasty is great to have rookies because they can build with your team.
Absolutely.
For my bust of the week, I did have a couple, but I think what I'm going to mainly focus on is, you're not going to like to hear this, but the Giants running backs. Giants running backs, absolutely, that it was nothing I was expecting. I mean, Gallman scored 3.4 points as a third string. He did line up as first team offense, though, during the game. Devonta Freeman, 5 attempts, 10 yards, 1 point. Deion Lewis, I think he also scored 1 point. I mean, last year when Barkley got hurt, Gallman was the starter, and Gallman did score a good chunk of points. 1 week he scored 26.8 last year. But, I mean, that was definitely a big shock to me. And something else I'm going to also put out is Darren Waller. Darren Waller only scored 2.9 points. He went 2 for 4 and 9 yards. Last time he scored as low as 2.9 was back in week 16 of the 2018 season, where he scored only 2.8 points. For a top tight end, that was definitely a bizarre player to see score only 2.9 points.
Yeah, when you're pretty much the only option on when you're playing the Patriots, it's not good. The Patriots, they know how to wipe away your best asset. And so in future lineups, if you are looking at somebody that is playing the Patriots and they don't have a solid number two, number three option, then I would fade that player. I mean, obviously you're going to start Darren Waller, but you have a good example of what can happen. And if you had an option, like I had an option to play Tyler Higbee instead, I pivoted and went Higbee and did, instead of Waller, even though Waller was coming off a huge week. Be worried about the Bill Belichick defense. They know how to wipe away and ruin fantasy for everybody.
Oh, they're definitely known for that. Nah, I definitely had I had Mike Gesicki and Darren Waller, and I thought both of them would break out this week. So I actually started both of them, but both of them did not break out for me whatsoever.
Gesicki did all right.
He scored about 8 points, which isn't bad. Don't get me wrong, but still not like Darren Waller numbers that he's used to putting up. And not to mention the Raiders, their Ruggs and Edwards, Gruden's both concerned about both of them. So Darren Waller might be getting some more targets even more if they're both out.
Yeah, absolutely. So my bust, I'll start out with Gardner Minshew. I've been a big supporter of Gardner Minshew all offseason, and it was a very tough game to watch. He missed some really big throws. The Chris Conley one is the one everyone's talking about, but he bounced a couple to the receivers and running backs. Chris Conley did his, you know, he did his part too. I think he was, you know, he was sabotaging Gardner Minshew for a little bit. He dropped a couple in the beginning, and he was doing his own job of making them both look bad. But he was wide open, and Gardner airmailed it, and that was just a huge disappointment from someone that we really had some high expectations on. And my second one, I will go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backfield. So Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette combined for less than 10 points. Normally for a bust candidate, you're going to have super high expectations. And I don't know if anyone had super high expectations, but I think coming off of a huge performance by both guys to put up some stinkers, people are going to be disappointed, because I guarantee people started Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette in their lineups and were very disappointed.
Yeah, I definitely had Leonard Fournette as a bust this week. A lot of people, including you, thought he would start being in the backfield more.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought he was going to get more involved in the backfield starting this week. I don't know if he would take it over, but not happy if you started him. Luckily, I don't have any Fournette shares. So, or Jones. I don't play with fire.
I actually almost had a share of Leonard Fournette before yesterday's games or Sunday's games, but in our league I almost got him back, but luckily I didn't accept the trade. So we're gonna move on to surprise players that we think that we were not expecting to be in the top 10 versus in like top 10 altogether, top 10 versus like each position, whichever one we think is best. And I'm going to start out. I already know which one you're going to go for, so I'm going to leave you for him. But I'm going to go with Robbie Anderson. He scored 55.8 points. He is the wide receiver 7. And he has been outperforming DJ Moore all season. And that comes out as a big shock, because I actually had DJ Moore doing very good this year. And I mean, against the Las Vegas Raiders in week 1, he scored 28.4, 16.9 against Tampa, 10.5 against the Chargers. His points are going down, but his targets and receptions are still staying right around the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 mark, roughly. So he only has one touchdown, but he's scoring a good amount of points for a wide receiver that I don't think anyone predicted to be in top 10.
No, that's a good pick, for sure. And do you want me to go through each position, quarterback, running back, receiver?
It doesn't matter. It's up to you.
Well, I can. Actually, I put out something today. Number 10 of the week was Drew Brees at quarterback. If Alvin Kamara doesn't get so much yards after the catch, then Drew Brees is probably a low-end QB2. He had a good week, and you probably can rely on Kamara getting a lot, but I mean, that one run was pretty crazy, and that was a catch, you know, so it was a lot padded on to Breeze's stats, and he still was only the QB10, and that's with 3 touchdowns. He has no rushing upside. If he has any fumbles or interceptions, he's going to be a quarterback 2, and if he doesn't have those big touchdown weeks, he's going to disappoint you. So he's someone I did put on my fool's gold, because I think he's just someone I don't feel comfortable starting each week, knowing he doesn't have that rushing upside that a lot of other people do. And until Michael Thomas returns. When Michael Thomas returns, then I'll comfortably put him back in the lineup. Somebody that was in the top 10 for running backs that I feel like is going to fool a lot of people is Rex Burkhead, number two overall on the week. It's once James White's back, Burkhead's going to take the back seat again. So if I had Burkhead on my team, or if I can pick him on waiver wire, pick him up. People want him, but I'm going to package trade him and get rid of him before James White returns. Everyone has been fooled before by Patriots running backs. Remember Jonas Gray had 3 touchdowns?
Yep.
Didn't play a single snap after that. Like, don't play with it. Sell it while you can. And then forgot to mention Mike Davis in the breakouts. That was a good one. And then Cedric Wilson, again, he's like the fourth option on that team. Michael Gallup and him both being top 7. That's not going to happen again. So Cedric Wilson was number 5 in PPR scoring this week. Pick him up and trade him if you can. But, I mean, I'm not playing with that. That's not going to happen again. Gallup, Lamb, Cooper, you want Cedric Wilson? Good luck.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Listen to the top 10 tight ends. Number 1, Jimmy Graham. Number 2, Tyler Croft. Number 3, Eric Ebron. Number 4, Robert Tonyan. Number 5, Travis Kelce. Number 6, Zach Ertz. Number 7, Mo Alie-Cox. Number 8, Jesse James. Number 9, Greg Olsen. Number 10, Jonnu Smith. And then Rob Gronkowski at 11. Foster Moreau at 12. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I would not want to start any of those guys except for Kelce and Jonnu Smith. I mean, Mo Alie-Cox, 2 weeks in a row. He was Zach Ertz is there too. So at least half of those top 6 guys, I'm not starting. Robert Tonyan obviously got a touchdown, so that was good. Croft got a touchdown. Jimmy Graham, I think, had 2 touchdowns. Oh, Croft had 2 touchdowns. So these guys are you know, without these touchdowns, they're nothing. I mean, Croft had 24 yards, number 2 on the week. So don't go and just chase the numbers. If you go chase the numbers from last week, you're probably going to be wrong. I would chase the result. I mean, your process should be chasing targets, snap percentage, and air yards. Don't just go after the total points. It can be very deceiving, especially with someone like Tyler Croft, where he had 4 catches on 5 targets. He had 6 yards per catch, but he had 2 touchdowns. I mean, if you were to put the left tackle from the Chiefs on here, he'd probably be a top 10 tight end, you know, just because he scored a touchdown. It was just a terrible week for tight ends without George Kittle being in there, with Waller having a bad week, and then Evan Engram is just he's not what we thought he was. So that's a long way to say there's a lot of tight ends that probably fooled us this week.
Oh, yeah. And Jimmy Graham was definitely one of my surprise players, that's for sure. And you talked about Rex Burkhead. And Rex Burkhead, I mean, I've known with Rex Burkhead, he's a hit or miss. Great to have in Dynasty, because who knows, maybe he will possibly break out like he did this week. But again, you're not going to – he's not your every week-to-week starter. And you could be seeing 30-something points this week. Next week, you'd be seeing 1 or 2 points. It all depends. Those running backs are not trustworthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very game script dependent, and we don't know the game plan until the game's over. So it's hard to predict. If James White is out, I will say you should – probably put flex Burkhead in there, because there's a lot of running backs that are injured and you probably don't have better options. But he's just not someone that I'm trading for or someone that I'm spending all my fab on, because if James White comes back, poof, he could be gone, and it's just not something I'm highly investing in. But if I already have him or I can get him cheap, then yeah, I'll get him and put him as a flex or an RB2. But just know that it comes with risk, because if James White comes back tomorrow, it's going to be bye-bye to Sexy Rex.
So also with Sony Michel too, 9 attempts, 117 yards this week. Last in week 1, for instance, he had more attempts, 10 attempts. He only scored 37 yards. I mean, he only had 37 yards rushing.
Yeah.
He hit or miss. I don't think you can trust any of that backfield until it's officially either set or that committee is no longer a committee.
Yeah, and on a side note, I got a text message before this of, hey, do you need a running back? I'm looking to sell. And I said, who do you got? And it was Ronald Jones, Jerick McKinnon, and Sony Michel. And I was like, I'll hit you up after work. It's more like shopping at Goodwill versus, at the real store. I don't think I'm super interested in what he's got to sell, but I'll check the prices out. But yeah, Sony Michel is not someone I'm looking to invest in high. I mean, it's good to have running backs for depth, but it's just not someone I want to start in my lineup every week.
Yeah, no, if you can get him cheap, by all means, go after them. But I know running backs are very thin this year, or in general, they're very thin. So to be able to get a cheap running back and maybe do what Sony Michel did this week, every week, that's consistent. And like Mike Davis has been consistent the last 2 weeks. If you can get him cheap, get a running back cheap, then go for it.
Yep.
My last top 10, I would say, is Calvin Ridley. I know everyone said he was a breakout, and I also consider him as a breakout this season before this season even started. But I didn't expect him to be the wide receiver one. No one, I don't think, well, maybe someone thought he would be wide receiver one, but I know I definitely did not think he would be wide receiver one after 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, people are definitely dancing in the streets because he had a lot of supporters. If you ever want to start a fist fight on Twitter, all you knew is to say DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, and everybody would just come in and argue. And the Calvin Ridley people are looking at the DJ Moore people and saying, I told you so. With Julio out and Russell Gage is out, I would never say a bust for someone that got hurt, but Russell Gage definitely disappointed people this week. So did Deontay Johnson. Those are two of my guys I was really high on. But with Calvin Ridley, he's definitely going to be a guy he's probably going to end the season as a wide receiver one. I don't know what wide receiver one overall, but I mean, we'll see. If Julio continues to be nagged by this injury, we could see the eclipse of kind of the passing of the gates, and he's taken over kind of like Julio did with Roddy White.
Yeah, and Julio was a very consistent player, and he didn't really get hurt often, and he was always like, he was undervalued in fantasy, but now with the injury, I mean, now Calvin Ridley is just shining.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't miss too many games. He was always on the injury report. It's questionable. Julio did play through a lot of injuries, but recently he's been able to, you know, stay in there and play. And this, you know, hopefully Julio's back, and both of them should be good because the Falcons defense can't stop a nosebleed. So you're going to continue to see a lot of passing yards from Matty Ryan.
Yep. Let's start moving into waiver wires now. I know everyone's waiting for waiver wires. Who are you going to add this week? I know for me, I'm adding Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, 62.1% owned in ESPN leagues, and he scored 16.32 week one. Not the greatest, but still not bad for a quarterback. 24.54 week two and 20.38 week three. And I think that's pretty good for a rookie quarterback. I think a rookie quarterback is going averaging around 20 points a game. That's a weekly starter.
Yeah, Joe Burrow showed a lot last week. A lot of toughness that I don't think anyone even expected. I mean, we knew he's a tough kid. He's Ohio basketball player. He took the whole transfer thing well, but Joe Burrow was a stream for me last week. I think he's going to break rookie scoring records as far as touchdowns, and you know he's going to beat Baker Mayfield's record for touchdowns. I'll call that now. I think he's somebody that's, you know, he's creeping into that borderline QB1. His rushing helps. He's got good weapons, and it's not good for football, but it's real, you know, reality football, but it's good for fantasy football, and it's got a bad defense and a pass heavy offense. So I think I like Burrow as a pick.
Yeah, not to mention, he also did get hurt last game, and I think he did leave the game for a little bit, didn't he? And then he came right back, and
they called a timeout. He never missed a snap. I mean, tough kid. I thought he got killed. I thought we watched a homicide, and he got. He got, I mean, I thought he got rocked, and he got right back up and played.
Yeah, I mean, for a kid that, even a rookie to even go through that and just be like, oh yeah, I'm good, and go right back in. I mean, that's shocking to see.
Mm-hmm.
For my running back, you had him last week, and I'm going to say Darrell Henderson. 67.9% owned. He scored only 0.6 in week one, but again, he had Cam Akers and Malcolm Brown in front of him, right? Yeah. 20.1 week two and 19 last week. And they're facing the next two matchups is the Giants and the Redskins. Washington football team. New York Giants and Washington football team, they do not have a great run-stop defense, in my opinion. So I think look for him to score another 20 points roughly, and this might be the last week you'll actually have him in the waivers. And if you let him go, then you're definitely not going to get him in waivers after this week, I think.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Henderson supporter, but he's winning me over. You got to stay fluid with these things. And if Cam Akers continues to be out, then he's going to be a good play. He looks good. He does look good. It's not just a volume situation. So they came out today and said they're gonna he's gonna be the starter moving forward. Malcolm Brown getting the goal line work does make me nervous. But as long as he continues to get the passing game work and the majority of the running back snaps, I'm very comfortable with putting Darrell Henderson in my lineup right now.
Yep. And another player I'm very comfortable putting in my lineup for running backs is Jeff Wilson Jr. Jeff Wilson, he broke out last week, 21.9 points. He is only 23.5% owned in leagues. And he had a great week three opportunity that he's fourth string for San Francisco. And with Mostert out, Mostert isn't on IR yet, but he's not probably ready. Wow, that was not English. He's probably not going to be ready to return yet. And Coleman on IR and McKinnon with a rib injury. Jeff Wilson is the number one running back there, and I think you need to start him in your lineups.
Yeah, it's going to be a 1 or 2 week rental. So he's someone that you use this week and then you sell, or if you can sell him high enough that you can afford to start someone else this week, like a Darrell Henderson, then yeah, do it, because he's going to have a monster week. He's playing the Eagles. They're super banged up. They've allowed good running back performances. I would definitely go with Jeff Wilson. But again, it's gonna be a very short term option, because once all those guys come back, he's going to move back to the bottom of the food chain.
Yep. And another player to be like another week of insurance policy is Braxton Berrios. He's only 1.5% owned. He scored double digits the last two games, 17.9, 16.4. And I mean, this man, if I'm correct, he was an undrafted free agent, correct, with the Patriots. And 1.5% owned, scoring double digits. I think you need to pick him up, maybe also sell him.
Yeah, so we're going to disagree on this one. Jamison Crowder is back. They're expecting him to play Thursday. So I would not recommend Braxton Berrios because of that. We'll see what happens this week. I mean, he definitely is someone that shined, and he might be worth putting on your bench or holding on to him. If you could trade him. But they did just announce that it does look like Jamison Crowder's back, and it gives me more encouragement to start, Jamison Crowder, because of how successful Berrios was in that role. Mims is out. Perriman's out. Herndon has been blocking like 60% of the time. So, and Bell's out. So, they're going to pepper the targets, and maybe Berrios and Crowder are serviceable. But I think if Crowder's out there, go grab him instead of grabbing Berrios, because a lot of people don't know that Crowder's going to be starting.
Yeah, no, if Crowder is starting, definitely go pick him up before you pick up Berrios, that's for sure. But if Crowder does end up not starting, even though they did say he most likely is, definitely go with Berrios.
Yeah, that was like announced right before we started this.
Ah, damn it. I just missed it. Before we move to you, I'm going to say tight end is Rob Gronkowski. Now, everybody started dropping him after his performances has not been good whatsoever. He's now 66.4% owned, 3.1 week one, 0 week two, 10.8 week three. And I mean, if you can grab him, he used to be a great tight end for fantasy. He still could have some points left to give you. And 10.8 points this week is a start, I think. And this is probably going to be his like lowest value he's going to have after like not having that great of the last 3 weeks. So if he's available, go pick him up. Definitely a great stash. I know in my redraft league, I drafted him pretty early as a top five running back because I've never had a share with him. So I wanted to try it out with him. And he's been a bust for me, but I don't want to drop him yet. I think he's still got some stuff left in the tank.
Yeah, this morning I did put him as a fool's gold. He had zero catches going into last week. But Chris Godwin is going to miss multiple weeks with a hamstring injury. So that's going to open up some targets for him and OJ Howard. I don't know if I would start him yet. I don't trust it, but he's worth a stash if you pick him up. I just read through that putrid tight end, you know, top 10 performances. And I mean, he was number 12 on the week. Any of those, there's probably six guys in that top 10 that won't be there this week. And, Rob Gronkowski could be one of them for sure. And one thing to remember with Gronkowski is he didn't play football last year. So it's going to take him a while to get acclimated. So that's another reason why it could be an excuse for why he had such bad weeks one and two was, I mean, he didn't have a preseason, had a very shortened training camp. So these are some things that I would say in support of him. Again, I wouldn't start him, but I mean, you might have some really bad options. You may have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but now we can move on to you. I know I took forever to go through mine.
You're fine. I'll go through mine super quick. So as much as I am a Giants fan, still a realist. And Jared Goff, 45% owned, that he's someone that I would put on the top of my priority list. He's playing the Giants this week. And I believe he is the Washington football team right after that. So Jared Goff is someone I'm definitely adding. Nick Foles is playing the Colts. It's kind of a bad matchup, but he's 1.5% owned. Baker Mayfield gets Dallas. They got a very, very suspect defensive backfield.
Yep.
And he's 24% owned. But somebody that I'm targeting this week that I think will be available in a lot of leagues is Kirk Cousins. He's only 17.9% owned. People were very against him because of the first 2 weeks. I think last week with Justin Jefferson breaking out, we saw some potential. And Kirk Cousins has usually been a pretty consistent quarterback. I think he had some bad matchups, and now he's got Houston. So I got some promise from last week. Derek Carr, 17.6% owned against Buffalo, not a great matchup. Teddy Bridgewater versus Arizona, 13.4% owned. He's all right. Justin Herbert, 21.4% owned. I'm more interested in Herbert than I am with Bridgewater and Carr. But I would say Goff, Cousins, Herbert for my top three. Running backs, Myles Gaskins is getting a lot of work. If Jordan Howard doesn't take those, if you're in a PPR league, go ahead with Gaskin. If not, don't touch him because the touchdowns are going to go to Howard. But he's getting 75% of the running back work in Miami, and he's getting a lot of the PPR points. Carlos Hyde is a 100% you need to own him because Carson might miss a week or two. Jeff Wilson Jr., you said it already. Rex Burkhead is someone you should add. He's less than 30% owned. And Brian Hill is less than 3% owned. He looks good, and he's sharing the backfield with Gurley. If Gurley goes down, Brian Hill is going to be a top pickup. So I would say one of my top pickups this week would be Brian Hill, Carlos Hyde, and you've already said Burkhead and Wilson Jr. and put Gaskin at the bottom of the list. Wide receivers, Justin Jefferson's 38% owned. T. Higgins, I don't know if I would really mess with him, but he's only 9% owned. So in your deeper leagues, he's there. Alan Lazard is 50% owned. Number one pickup for me out of receivers. Hunter Henry is there. Not Hunter Henry, Hunter Renfro, 8% owned. Anthony Miller, I'll put it, Anthony Miller is my number two pickup of the week for receivers. He's 34% owned. Nick Foles has notoriously targeted the slot receiver. So Allen Robinson's still going to be targeted, but look for Anthony Miller's targets to go up. He might get 8 to 10 targets every week, and that's going to be a lot. Brandon Ayuk, I actually think Ayuk is one of the rookie wide receivers I might actually believe in because the way they used him. They used him in the running game. They used him in the passing game. And Debo Samuel, is they say he might be back this week. I don't think so. It might be a couple more weeks until we see Debo back. And even if he's back, is he going to be limited or not? If Kittle's out, I mean, he had plenty of targets last week. He was featured in this offense, and he's the number one on a Kyle Shanahan offense. Give me that. Honestly, I have more trust in him performing this week than I do Justin Jefferson. And then Greg Ward is another one. He's only 1% owned. Tight ends, Mo Alie-Cox is a good fit if Jack Doyle's out. Dalton Schultz should be owned in all leagues. Jimmy Graham, no thanks. Eric Ebron, no thanks. Logan Thomas, he's got Baltimore this week. All those guys are less than 40% owned, but it's tough sledding. And then last thing is the defenses. Rams are less than 30% owned. They get the Giants and my turnover-prone quarterback. Seahawks get Miami, turnover-prone quarterback. And the Cardinals get Carolina. They're less than 50% owned. So I'd stream all three of those.
What about the Broncos facing the Jets?
The Broncos playing the Jets is, I mean, always, if you're going against the Jets, you're probably good.
Yeah.
Even though the Broncos are starting their third string quarterback, and I guess he's second string now, but they're pretty beat up. But that's going to be an awful game to watch.
I can't believe it. Thursday
night. With Baltimore, Kansas City, but that's a good one too.
Yeah. You named a lot of players that I also had on my list. I mean, Myles Gaskin, definitely great pickup if you can pick him up, scoring double digits all three games in PPR leagues. Another person I don't think was mentioned was Corey Davis, 61.8% owned, 17.1 week one, 12.6 week two, and 11.9 week three. I mean, I've had him on being a bust for the past few years, and I mean, he hasn't been a great player for fantasy aspects, but now in his contract year, he's trying to show off, and he's definitely doing great in fantasy now.
Yep.
Breakouts for week four. Gardner Minshew, I'm still a believer in him. He's coming. He's going to have a comeback week this week. He's facing the Bengals. Another breakout, I think, is David Montgomery. I think David Montgomery with Cohen out, I think David Montgomery is now going to pick up a lot more that Cohen would take. And another breakout is KJ Hamler, and that's because he's facing the Jets, and the Jets defense, obviously, everyone knows. For tight ends, Hayden Hurst, he's going up against the Packers. Packers been letting a lot of teams score high points on him, on them. Definitely give me those four.
No, that's good. There's gonna be a lot of people that'll be targeting the Denver Broncos receivers because they're playing the Jets. And we're gonna double up on Broncos. I'm gonna go with the other guy, Jerry Jeudy. So Jerry Jeudy, and he's definitely one of my breakout candidates this week. I do think that him and Noah Fant should be heavily targeted. Hamler's got a big play potential. I'll take him. As far as my other candidates, I think my list was pretty much the same as yours. So we can just keep moving.
Yep. Do you want to start with the bus for week four?
You can go with that.
All right. Bus for tight ends, I'm going to have to go with Chris Herndon. He's facing the Broncos, and I mean, the Jets is just, I don't know. I'd want to stay away from anyone from the Jets right now, unless it's Jameson Crowder or possibly Braxton Berrios. Even the running back situation, it just doesn't look great. For QBs, I'm probably going to have to say Nick Mullins is going to be a bust this week, even though he's facing Philadelphia. I mean, he did score 17.72 this week, but I think it's going to be not the greatest game to see. And don't get me wrong, San Francisco will probably win that game. But I just don't see Nick Mullins doing that great. A bust candidate is, let me look. I don't want to go with Brian Hill. I was thinking Brian Hill because he just had a breakout, but definitely not. Antonio Gibson, he's also a great streamer to watch. Rex Burkhead, though. Rex Burkhead, I mean, again, don't get me wrong. If you can stash him. But he's not going to be putting up the numbers he just did this week. He's unpredictable. Just like that whole running back situation down there. I definitely wouldn't grab him up. A player I think is another bust this week is Cole Beasley. He's facing the Raiders, and I don't think that the Bills can share all the passes to Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, if he's available, Devin Singletary at running back, and I'm missing another wide receiver that I can't think of off the top of my head. Oh, John Brown. I don't think Cole Beasley will get as many targets that he has. He scored 6 receptions, 100 yards, 16 points, 12 points the week before, and 9.8 the week before that. I think he's going to be more of a bust candidate. He's probably going to score maybe less than 5, maybe. But yeah, those are my busts of the week. I don't know if I talked too fast. I felt like I was talking too fast, but.
No, you're fine. Gave me some time to look at some stuff. So Tom Brady is my first one. I think that the Chargers are a tough matchup even without Derwin James. Hopefully they get Melvin Ingram back soon. But they've been a tough matchup. Chris Godwin out. I know Scotty Miller is banged up. They might rely more on the running game. And he's definitely not a mobile quarterback. So it's going to take a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns for him to have a top week. So I have him right around QB 20 this week. As far as running backs, I'm still high on Derrick Henry, but I'll put Derrick Henry as a bust candidate because he's probably in the top 5, top 10 in your rankings. And he's playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And they have a great defense.
And this game could be canceled because of COVID. So we got no practice this week. We got they're not resuming activities until Saturday. Probably put all of your Tennessee Titans and your Minnesota Vikings on bust watch because they may not even play. But Henry against the Steelers and that defensive line. I know Taylor Lewan is injured and their right tackle got arrested and is suspended. So that offensive line is pretty beat up. Yeah. Isaiah Wilson had like 3 or 4 issues in college. He's had 3 or 4 issues this summer. And he, recently got a DUI right before week one. So as far as receivers, Amari Cooper, he's somebody that you drafted him high. You probably have him in your lineup. And he's probably the third best as far as production on that team. He's gonna line up with Denzel Ward. And he usually does not perform well against good corners. So Amari Cooper is my bust candidate. And as far as tight ends, Mike Gesicki is someone that I think people are going to start to get more comfortable with and want to put him in the lineup. And as soon as you do, I think he has the opportunity to disappoint you. I'm not saying he's going to, but I said there's probably a lot of risk in playing him versus some of the other options you might have.
Yeah, no, you definitely named a couple that I also had. I mean, yeah, it's Amari Cooper is definitely a shocking one. I mean, but then again, everyone drafted him super high, thinking he was going to do amazing this year, and he's been shattered.
357.
Yeah, we're good. So let's go with sell high candidates. Selling high is who we talked about this week was Robbie Anderson and Alan Lazard. I think it's time to sell them high. They're probably at their highest point, I think. I mean, they might keep doing productive stuff that they've been doing, but if you can sell them for good good stuff. I'd go for it. I mean, I think DJ Moore is going to come back into the mix. Davante Adams, once he comes back, he'll start doing good. He'll take the targets away from Lazard, the deep shots. For my buy low is DJ Moore. He hasn't been as productive as Robbie Anderson, but once DJ Moore finally connects with Bridgewater, he's going to start doing some damage in fantasy. And my last buy low is Marquise Brown. He's been kind of like, he hasn't been really productive. He's been in the shadows lately. He did score 15.1 week one, but 9.2 and 3.3 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'll go with some buy lows. They're a little bit riskier because they are currently injured. But I like DJ Chark as someone that you can buy on the cheap right now. People have been, you know, they spent fifth round, sixth round picks on him. They're very disappointed. He should be back this week. We'll see about that. But the other one is AJ Brown. They're obviously missing him in that offense. He should be returning soon. So I think those are two guys that you can go and take one of these waiver wire darlings and turn them into AJ Brown or, someone like that. As far as guys that I would sell high, James Robinson is a guy that I think I would sell high on. He had a huge game on national television, and he may not have another game like that all year. He may, but I mean, you cannot have a stock higher than what he is now. I mean, he's going to put 30 points up every week. I hope so, but that's someone that is falling out. And, I said it last week as far as Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is the top 10 receiver right now in football, and he looks really good. The Bills are using him really well. And they actually had a decent, they had a tough matchup this week. But he's just, it's not going to get much higher than what it is. And if you can sell him as a top 5 receiver and get some good quality return plus some, then go ahead and do that. But that's, that's someone. I'll throw two other guys on there just because I really am worried about their targets. I'm worried about Adam Thielen, and I'm worried about Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham came out this week and said he's not going to put up high numbers. And, he had like two targets in the first quarter last week. Was the first time he's been targeted in the first quarter all season. They double cover Beckham, and he just doesn't have – they're not a pass-heavy offense, and he doesn't have the connection with Mayfield. Thielen is creeping outside of my top 12 because Jefferson's taking the slot and Thielen's moved to the outside.
Yeah, I think Odell's been a bust since he left New York. I'm going to be honest. He did great in New York, but after that, he hasn't.
There's so many people. I have a list of people that I need apologies from because as an Eli Manning supporter, I understand that he was not, the best quarterback the last couple of years. But so many people were like, well, if you take what he was doing with Eli Manning and his terrible noodle arm and blah, 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 and extrapolate it by this, Baker Mayfield, he might throw 30 touchdowns to Odell Beckham and 25. Odell Beckham was the number one dynasty asset under Eli Manning. And then he got traded, and it was like, oh, he's free from the shackles of Eli Manning. Eli Manning supported him as far as production, and it was a very good fantasy receiver, and people shit on all over Eli Manning, and we're like, he's gonna be so good when he's not, and they are so wrong. And after one and a half years, I'm saying you owe Eli Manning an apology.
Yeah, it was that great connection that they had. I think that did it.
And it's the targets. He had 13 targets a game in New York, and yeah, he was doing 14 touchdowns a year because of it.
Yeah, he did phenomenal. But to conclude our podcast, which undefeated team will make the longest run? And I'm going to say the Packers. They face the Falcons, who are 0-3. And I think the Packers are just going to still demolish the Falcons. They're going to still beat the Falcons. It's going to be a high-scoring game, I think. Who knows? Maybe high scoring teams are now going to start, and now they're both going to start maybe scoring 20 points. Who knows? But after the Falcons, they're going to have a bye week, and then they go on to face the Bucks, who are still iffy, in my opinion. The Texans and the Vikings going into week 8. I mean, that they could be 7-0 right there.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs. Probably an easy pick. They had the toughest matchup on their entire schedule last night, and they won. And they won in impressive fashion. So I would not be surprised if they were undefeated this year. I know that's a very unlikely scenario. Usually teams, you know, even the best teams lose one or two or three games. But I think that they looked dominant last night. And I know the Chargers game made people a little nervous. It is a divisional game, but they beat the Ravens, and they beat them in impressive fashion. So I will put my money on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked. And I do want to say a third team would be the Seahawks, and that's because they face the Dolphins, the Vikings, a bye week, and then the Cardinals, Niners. And Niners are still facing hard problems with defense. So I think Seahawks could also be 7-0. I mean, there could be a lot of teams going undefeated for a while this season.
Yeah, unless the Packers play the Chiefs or the Seahawks or vice versa, all three of those teams are good candidates to, you know, to run the table, you know, 10 games or 9 games in a row.
Yeah, yeah. But this will conclude our episode number 4. Today I was joined by Dave, and you can follow him at Dynasty Dorks. I am your host, Fernando, and Sports Time HQ isn't out. Have a good rest of the day.